This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that before you there was a king and a magician. And the magician tells the king that I am getting old and I fear that this knowledge that I have will be completely lost. I would like you to find me someone that I can train to pass this knowledge on to. So the king goes in search in his kingdom to find someone that is intelligent and hardworking, and he finds this young boy. And he tells the young boy that I will take care of all of your needs and all of your family's needs, but I would like you to be trained by this magician. So this young boy agrees. He says this is an amazing opportunity. So he starts attending the classes with the magician, and he starts learning from him. But on his way to the magician every single day, he comes across this ascetic monk that has renounced the dunya, and he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night and gives these reminders. But as he's listening to these reminders, he ends up becoming late for his classes with the magician. And the magician had no patience and no tolerance and got angry with him, and subhanAllah would beat up the boy severely. So one day the boy complains to the monk and he tells him, look, this magician, he gets so angry every time I attend your classes and I'm late for his class. So the monk tells him, I want you to tell the magician whenever you're late that your family made you late. So the boy tells the magician that, look, it was my family that made me late. You know, I had stuff to do. And the magician understood and he stopped beating up the monk. So now one day on his way to class, he sees this massive beast in the middle of the town that's completely blocking the pathway for the people to go in and out of the town. And he makes a deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, oh Allah, if the monk is on the truth, when I throw this stone, I want you to kill this beast so that the people can go through. He picks up the stone, he says, Bismillah, he throws the stone and it kills the beast. And he becomes so overjoyed because now he has clarity as to who is on the truth. And he goes to the monk and he tells the monk exactly what happened, that I saw this beast that was blocking the town, I picked up the stone, I made this deal with Allah, and subhanAllah, the beast died. And the monk tells him, you have now reached a level that has surpassed me, and I fear that you are going to be tested very, very soon. Whenever that test comes, I want you to make sure that you don't tell them that it was the monk that taught you and trained you. And subhanAllah, the young boy's miracles continued. He was able to cure those with leprosy. He was able to cure those with blindness. And one day, the right-hand man of the king, who had started to go blind, he gathered as many presents as he could, and he comes to the young boy. And he tells the young boy, all of the presents you see, these are now yours, but on the condition that you cure me. The young boy says, I am not the one that cures, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that cures. Embrace Allah as your Lord, and I will make dua for you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure you. So the right-hand man, he agrees to this. He accepts Islam, and the young boy makes dua for him, and lo and behold, his blindness is gone. So now when this right-hand man is interacting with the king is surprised. You're doing tasks that you weren't able to do. How did you get your eyesight back? And the man tells him that my Lord has cured me. And the king is perplexed. What are you talking about? I didn't cure you. And the man says, your Lord and my Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the king was infuriated. He tells him, who told you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your Lord? How dare you say that? And he starts beating up the right-hand man. Till the right-hand man says, look, this young boy, he's now able to cure the sick, those that have leprosy and those that have blindness. He is the one that through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I became cured. So now the king summons the young boy and he starts beating up the young boy and says, who taught you what you know? And the young boy says that this is all from Allah. And he beats him up even more till finally the young boy breaks and he says, I learned this from the monk. So now the king summons the monk and he starts telling him, renounce your faith, accept me as your Lord and reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The monk says, never. The king cuts him exactly in half and the monk passes away. And the king then decides, you know what? I'm going to make a lesson for everyone. Whoever dares not accept me as their Lord, they will be punished and persecuted. So he summons the young boy and he tells his guards that I want you to take the young boy and throw him off the highest mountain and let everyone watch him fall off the mountain. And the young boy, he's petrified, he's scared. As he's climbing up the mountain with the guards, he's making dua, Allahumma akfinihim bima shi'at, Allahumma akfinihim bima shi'at. That, oh Allah, in any way that is pleasing to you, suffice me and protect me from these people. And subhanAllah, no sooner does he finish dua, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the mountain to shake and all of the guards die except for the boy. And the boy comes back to the king. And the king is perplexed. All of the guards have disappeared and this scrawny little young boy is still alive. He says, okay, you think you got away this time? Let's see what you do now. He gathers another set of guards and he says, take the young boy to the middle of the ocean and throw him off. And again, the young boy panics. And as he's on the ship, he starts making dua, Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'at, Allahumma kfinihim bima shi'at. That, oh Allah, suffice me and protect me in any way that is pleasing to you from these people. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a massive tidal wave that wipes away everyone in the ship except for this boy. And the boy comes back to the king one more time. And he tells him, you will not be able to kill me except if you do what I tell you. And the king says, what is that? He says, I want you to gather all of the kingdom. Bring them all together in one place. Then I want you to tie me to a tree and take an arrow from my bag and I want you to shoot it at me. And the king says, sure, I will do that. But he says, that's not it. He says, as you're shooting the arrow, I want you to say, in the name of Allah, the Lord of the boy. And only then, when you shoot the arrow, will I be killed. So the king gathers all of the people. He ties the young boy up to the tree. He grabs an arrow from his bag and he says, Bismillah, in the name of the Lord of the boy. And he shoots the arrow and it strikes him right in the temple. The young boy covers his head and he passes away. But no sooner does he fall, but the people start shouting and chanting, we believe in the Lord of the boy, we believe in the Lord of the boy. And the guards tell the king, what did you do? Whatever you were fighting against, the exact opposite has happened now. And the king becomes infuriated and he tells his guards that I want you to start digging ditches. Dig ditches and light the ditches with fire. Some of the narrations, they mention that it was a month-long process of digging the ditch and lighting the fire. And he told the people that whoever accepts the Lord of the boy will be killed. Renounce your faith, accept me as your Lord, and you will survive. But one by one, they held on to their faith, and the king threw them into the fire, and they were martyred in that fashion. Up and until came the turn of a mother that has a brand new baby. And the mother is scared for herself, and she's scared for the baby. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires the baby and gives the baby the ability to speak. And the baby says, oh my mother, be patient, for surely we are upon the truth. And the king took her and threw her into the pit of fire, and she was burnt alive as a shahida. And that is how the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ends. Now you may think, where is the happy ending? Whoa, how could the hadith just end like that? Well, inshallah, we'll get to that bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So let's start with some interaction. What are some important lessons that you derive from the hadith that you feel are very apparent and you feel are of importance? We'll take five from the audience altogether, inshallah. Tawheed, Allahu Akbar. Beautiful lesson. Oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Excellent. Taqwa, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and no one else. Everything happens because of the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amazing. Two more, inshallah. Bismillah, young man, go ahead. Sabr, patience for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be tested, you need to be patient. One more, inshallah. Can we get someone from this side of the room? Seeking to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So according to you, who was seeking to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The boy, Allahu Akbar. Okay, good. Taib, let's start from the very beginning. From the very beginning, and inshallah we'll take seven lessons altogether, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. From the very beginning, we see that the magician has this need to leave a legacy behind. Right? And as human beings, we all have this need. But you have to understand the difference between believers and other than them. The believer's legacy is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaving benefit in this world behind that people can benefit from. Whereas this magician's legacy was restricted to this life. He wanted to teach his magic and that was it. 1B over here is that whatever future you want to see, you have to plan and prepare for it. The magician wanted a future where his legacy continued and magic was taught. But similarly in this community, what do we want from this community 10, 15, 20 years from now? And whatever that looks like, these young people in the masajid, we need to start training them and mentoring them and giving them, you know, leadership roles so that they can start carrying the deen forward and start carrying the community forward. And that is how you create the future that you want to see with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two is that you see that the young boy was not only intelligent, but he was hard working. And these are two important skill sets. One intelligence and the other one to be hardworking. You may not have both of them, but if you have both of them, you will naturally stick out. If you don't have both of them, then take whichever one you have and take it as far as you possibly can to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to do something right. This young boy shows us that you don't have to be, you know, a multi-billionaire coming from power and clout to influence society. Certain people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just makes them an example for the people that they will follow. You never know that. Be sincere with Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that ability. Number three is that the monk, he teaches the young boy to say that it was your family that made you late. When you look at this, you may think, isn't this a lie? Well, let's understand what the monk is trying to do. The monk is practicing tawriya, meaning you're presenting a truth, but not in a way that people would normally think. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has a conversation with Nuh alayhi salam after the son of Nuh alayhi salam is drowned. And Nuh alayhi salam, he tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, my son was from my family. How could you let him drown? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he was not from your family. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. But rather, he was an act of unrighteousness. So what we learn over here is that Nuh alayhi salam is being told, your ahl are those people that you have familiarity with. Familiar foundations, familiar beliefs, those are your family. So the monk had now become the young boy's family. And this shows us the importance of the brotherhood and sisterhood in Islam, that we are brothers and sisters in Islam, and we are ahl to one another as a result of our beliefs and as a result of our akhlaq. Which brings us to point number four, that the young boy, he never doubted, but he wanted an increase in certainty. So when he picked up the rock and he said, oh Allah, if the monk's affair is the truth, let this animal die. It's not that he was doubting, but he wanted an increase in certainty. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam asked, arini kayfa tuhyi al-mauta. Show me how you resurrect the dead. And he responds by saying, because I want my heart to settle. Not because of doubt, but he wanted an increase in certainty. And this shows us that as believers, we're allowed to seek an increase in certainty by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for signs. But if you have doubts about your faith, then you need to do two things. Number one, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for steadfastness. And number two, seek knowledge that will help you eradicate those doubts. Seek knowledge that will help you eradicate those doubts. Number five, we see that tyranny only knows one language, which is violence. And you see this throughout history. This king, anytime he wanted something, he used violence. And we see this in our day and age as well. When you see tyrannical rulers, the only language they know is that of violence. Let's persecute, let's punish, let's imprison, let's kill. That's the language that they know. And this is a lesson throughout history that this is what tyrannical people will do. The believers are meant to be merciful and compassionate with one another. We're not meant to be tyrannical and senseless killers. That is what the tyrannical rulers are for. Now we'll get to this important lesson later on towards a conclusion. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about this tyrannical ruler specifically in Surah Al-Buruj? We'll get to that. Number six is that the inevitable reality of faith is that you will be tested. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Does mankind think that they will be left to say, we believe and not be tested? As soon as you accept Islam, know that you will be tested in one way or another. It is inevitable. But at the same time, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden a soul more than it can bear. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent a test your way, it's only because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that you can handle it. And everyone will be tested in accordance to their capacity. Which brings me to the seventh and last lesson. And this has like three tiers to it. Where is the happy ending? We've been indoctrinated to think that a happy ending has to take place in this life. So the prince has to save the princess. The oppressed have to become free and overthrow the tyrannical ruler. That is what we've been trained to think. And from time to time that will happen. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Surah Al-Buruj? He says that the believers, when they've entered into this eternal paradise, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ, that is the manifest victory. That is the happy ending that you've been longing for. You will get glimpses of happiness, glimpses of satisfaction in this life. Enjoy them and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. But do not be deluded into thinking that your happy ending is in this life and this is where you will be truly and absolutely happy. 7b, getting back to this king. How did he kill these people? He made a ditch, he lit a fire, and he threw the people into it. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in Surah Al-Buruj? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. Now subhanAllah, this tyrannical ruler, he saw the truth. He tried killing the boy, he was unable to do so. The boy told him that if you want to kill me, say in the name of Allah, the Lord of the boy, and I will die. And he did exactly that. He knew what the truth was. And this shows us such a powerful lesson that subhanAllah, you can literally show the biggest miracle that anyone can be shown. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not willed guidance for that person, they will not accept it, even if they experience the miracle themselves. So this king, he saw the truth, he rejected it. And now when you reject the truth, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He allows you to continue in your oppression. وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَى, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues the oppression of the oppressors and to increase them in misguidance, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what He pleases. But why? So that when these people show up on the Day of Judgment and they're thrown into the fire and they have this everlasting punishment of a blazing fire and they say, I do not deserve this, I do not deserve this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them of all of the evil that they did so that their punishment is now justified. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us here? You burnt the believers alive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will burn them for eternity in the hereafter. فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. They will have the punishment of the hellfire and an everlasting blaze that will continue to be ignited, that will continue to burn this person, subhanallah. So this shows us that whatever you put into the dunya is what you're going to be expecting in the hereafter. What you're going to be expecting in the hereafter. And the very last lesson that I leave you with, 7C. Look at the transition that the boy goes through. He's going up the mountain, he's scared, makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gets onto the ship, he's scared, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Till he finally accepts the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me an ibrah and an ayah for the people, that they're going to follow what I do. So if I can show them the truth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I die in that cause, then let it be. Because I would know that I have left this world while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with me. And that is the greatest thing that you can aspire for, and that is the greatest thing that you achieve. And that is the dua that I conclude with, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not allow us to leave this world except that He is pleased with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our sins and shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uplift oppression and hardship from this ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace the tyrannical rulers with just and peaceful ones. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant victory to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this life and the next. Jazakumullahu khairan for your wonderful attention. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن الله وملائكته أمته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.